Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Today we're going to read one verse of scripture together that is amazing. We're going to read it in three different versions. I want us to read Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. We're going to read it from the NIV, from the Message Bible, and from the King James Version. Let's read it together first from the NIV. For I know, everybody say it out loud, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Amen. Now from the Message. I know what I'm doing. Somebody needs to hear that today. Read it again. God said, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Now from the King James. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Last week, we began this series out of Isaiah chapter 2. We began by looking far into the future. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 2, he looked beyond kingdoms. He looked beyond governments. He looked beyond generations. He looked beyond the rise and the fall of nations, and he saw something remarkable. In Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we read that at the very end of history, Zion is the center of moral instruction, and the people from all nations are making their way to the mountain of God, to the house of the Lord, to the temple of God. So at the end of history, God's house is still standing. The word of God is still being proclaimed. The people of God are still gathered around his presence. Everything else had changed, but the center had not. Then we traveled back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 11. And we read of Abram leaving the Ur of Chaldees. Terah, his father, took his family from the Ur of Chaldees on his way to Canaan. But he stopped in Haran, halfway between the Ur of Chaldees and Canaan. And he stopped halfway. Abram kept walking. After the death of his father, Abram kept walking toward Canaan. The beginning of Abraham's story was change and transition. God told Abram to leave his country, leave his kindred, leave his father's house, and go to a place that he would show him. So the beginning of Abraham's story was change and transition. And we discovered that the safest place in an ever-changing world is not a life without change, but it is a life with an unchanging center. Upon Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Amen. Today, I want to continue staying fixed for the future. Staying fixed for the future. 2026 is the year of staying fixed. And so we're staying fixed for our future. And our future is great. Amen. Our future is great. In our opening scripture that we read together, Jeremiah says that God desires to give us an expected end. That's the King James that we read together. God's desire is to give us an expected end. The Hebrew word translated hope or expected is tikvah. Tikvah. hope for the future. An expected end, hope or an expected end, hope for the future, a promise for the future. That's the Hebrew word, tikvah. Interestingly, that same Hebrew word, tikvah, appears in another place in Scripture that we want to focus on for the next few minutes. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 18. Now remember in Jeremiah's appearance, the word tikvah means a hope. It means hope for the future or a promise for the future. But in Joshua chapter 2 verse 18, when we invade your land, when we invade your land, tie this red cord in the window through which you let us down. Also, gather your father, mother, brothers, and all your father's family into your house. Verse 21, I agree, she said. So she let them go and tied the red cord in the window. What's happening here? Anybody remember this story? This is a story of the spies coming into the land of Israel, and they went and they were hidden by a woman named Rahab. Now, this word tikvah appears in these passages. And do you know where it appears? Can you guess? Interesting. This is so interesting. It appears, it's actually the word cord. Cord. When we invade your land, tie this red cord in the window. That's tikvah. The spies from Israel told Rahab, a prostitute in Jericho, to tie a scarlet cord in her window. That scarlet cord would identify her house when Israel entered Jericho, and it would become the visible sign that she belonged to God's covenant. If that cord was tied, it would spare Rahab and all in her home from devastation. So in Jeremiah, tikvah describes hope for the future. In Joshua, tikvah describes the cord Rahab held onto as she waited for her future. One word, two pictures, and it's a beautiful picture. God simply doesn't promise us a destination. He gives us something to hold on to while we travel there. I want you to lock in with me now. I want to repeat that. God doesn't simply promise us a destination. He gives us something to hold on to while we travel there. Hope is trusting what God has said while you wait for what God has promised. He gives us hope for an expected end. Hope is trusting what God has said while you wait for what God has promised. You see, the cord that she fixed in her window, the cord that she tied in her window, it represented hope. She told the spies, all of us, we've heard of your God. We've heard of this incredible God who brought your nation out. And we've heard, and there's no more spirit left in us. We know that you guys are coming, and we know it's over. And so she already understood, and she had some insight. And so she wanted deliverance. She had a hope. The cord, you see, when they told her, this cord that you let us down with, you tie it in your window. And when we enter the nation, we come back to take the land, we're going to see that red cord, and we will not destroy. We will not bring devastation to your home. the cord represented expectation and hope. The cord represented confidence. The cord represented a future not yet seen. Imagine the days after the spies left. Come on, track with me for just a moment. Imagine after the spies. I mean, this is quite in a moment when she's hid these spies and then she lets them down and they give her this promise and she fixes that. She's ready for that promise to come to pass. And imagine the days after they left. The house becomes quiet. The excitement fades. Now, all she has is a scarlet cord fixed in a window, and a promise. Think of it. Think of this for a moment, the price this woman paid. First of all, Rahab betrayed her own king. She had turned her back on everything she had ever known. If anyone discovered what she had done, she could lose her life. Perhaps every morning she looked at that scarlet cord and she wondered, will they really come? Will they remember me? Will they keep their promise? Because of this woman's, think about this, because of this woman's vocation, I don't think she had a lot of trust in men. And obviously we know the men of Israel were not in her home for that purpose. But it's so incredible because as I was studying this, it was so obviously such a perfect cover, because here you have strange men entering the city, and the first place they go to after wearisome travel through the wilderness and days or weeks or months, they're going to go to Rahab's house or to the prostitute's place. So it's like no eyebrows are going to be raised. Nobody's going to, this is just life as usual around this woman. But we know what transpired here. They made her a promise. I wonder how many men had made her promises before. And so she's, no doubt, she's having to deal with all of these issues in her mind. Will they really come? Will they really remember me? You know, some days faith feels dramatic, but most days faith looks like leaving the cord in the window. I want to repeat that. Some days faith looks dramatic. Most days faith looks like leaving the cord in the window. Faith is often spectacular in one moment and ordinary every day after that. Sometimes the greatest act of faith isn't taking the first step, it's refusing to take it back. The spies actually instructed Rahab to hang the cord when Israel returned, but Rahab did not wait. Joshua 2:21 simply says, she sent them away and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. You see, these spies had no clue. They had no idea how the city would be taken. In their mind, they never knew a wall would fall down and they would just walk in. In their mind, they're thinking house-to-house combat. They're thinking a military campaign, a military strategy. So when they had no idea that the walls would come crashing down, so they told her, when we come back, we're going to be storming from door, house to house. You make sure that that cord is in that window when we come to your house, because we will not remember. We will not be able to differentiate from house to house only by this red cord. So as soon as they left, immediately, she tied the scarlet cord in the window. She took no chances, guys. She arranged her life around a promise that had not yet come to pass. She prepared today for what God would do tomorrow. Faith does not wait until the future arrives before it prepares for it. The people most ready for God's next season are the people who obey Him in this one. Come on, quick to obey. Her family's future depended on that cord remaining fixed. And so did hers. Number two, this brings us to the second thought and truth that I want to give to you in this series. We can stay fixed for the future because God's word is our reliable guide. We can stay fixed in the future because God's word is our reliable guide. The scarlet cord was never magical. It was simply Rahab's response to the word that she had received. The power was not in the cord. The power was in trusting the promise behind it. And this is still true today. Our future is not secured by our feelings. Our future is not secured by our circumstances. Our future is not secured by our ability to predict what comes next. Our future is secured as we trust and we obey the reliable word of God. For God's word never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word will never pass away. When everything around us is changing, God's word remains unchanged. When we don't know what tomorrow holds, God's word shows us how to live today. Hallelujah. You may be looking out over your future right now and it's like you just can't figure a lot of things out. Well, your answer is right here. Right here. Stay on this word. Stand on this word. Continue to believe and look to God that for what God has spoken, He is well able to perform. And He's not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He not spoken, will He not bring it to pass and make it good? Amen. God's word remains unchanged. You know, when everything around us is changing, His word remains unchanged. When the future feels uncertain, God's word remains certain. When we don't know what tomorrow holds, God's word shows us how to live and walk and conduct ourselves today. We can stay fixed for the future because God's word is our reliable guide. What does a guide do? What's the work of a guide? He takes, or she takes, and guides you to see the great wonders and to see the great buildings and to see the great flowers and to see the great... She's a guide and she will take you, or he will take you and bring you to... You've traveled all this way to see these great sights, but you don't know the country, you don't know the land, you don't know the city, so you hire a guide to take you to something you've always wanted to see. Something you've always wanted to experience. And so the guide takes you. Come on, this is the word of God right here. Hallelujah. We can stay fixed upon that word. When God's word becomes our reliable guide, two things happen. First of all, God's word shapes our character. When the word of God becomes our guide, our reliable guide, and hey, guys, by the way, it's never failed. It's never failed. Imagine this, right throughout the earth, from culture to culture, from nation to nation, from society to society, this has never failed. This is miraculous right here. This is supernatural right here. So God's word shapes our character. Transitions have a remarkable way of exposing what is inside us. They strip away the familiar. They remove our false securities. Transitions force us to discover whether our identity is rooted in our circumstances or in God. And Rahab is one of the most beautiful pictures of redemption in Scripture. She entered the story as a prostitute, but she appears later in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Imagine. God's word shapes our character. And the transitions that we go through as we just stay focused on the word of God. Powerful. So you talk about a change of identity. She entered the story as a prostitute, but later appears in the genealogy of Jesus. It's amazing. God was never interested in preserving who Rahab had been. He was preparing her for who she was becoming. God often changes your character before he changes your circumstances. Somebody needs to hear this. God often changes your character before he changes your circumstances. Because when the pressure's on and when everything's rough and when everything's tight and you can't see a way through and your future looks really rough or dim, if he just changed your circumstances, you would feel the pressure released, but you're no different than you were. And the next time you come up against unfavorable circumstances and situations, you're still the same as the time before. But God takes care to make sure, come on, that we are changed and transformed into his likeness by the word of God. This is how it happens. So he will change your character before he changes your circumstances. The greatest miracle of transition isn't that your surroundings change, it's that you change. The greatest miracle of transition, not that your surroundings change, but that you change. So excited. God is about to bring Nairobi Lighthouse Church into a season of transition. We're moving forward, and great things are ahead of us as we continue to keep our eyes on his word and allow that word. You know, the scripture says, allow that word to have its effectual work in us. Not just work, but effectually at work in us. Having made our lives, transformed our lives, and having an effectual impact. And then secondly, God's word keeps us active, not passive. Not passive, active. When God's word becomes our reliable guide, God's word shapes our character, then God's word keeps us active, not passive. God's word never calls us to wait passively. It calls us to obey actively. Not to just wait passively, but to obey actively. Rahab simply didn't, she just didn't simply believe, she acted. She acted. She tied the cord. She fixed that cord in her window. She gathered her family. She prepared her house. She didn't just believe God's promise. She just didn't believe God's promise. She arranged her life around that promise. Faith moves, everybody. Faith obeys. Faith prepares. Faith doesn't just believe God can. Faith lives as though he will. So preparation is often the clearest expression of expectation. When a woman begins to, when she finds out she's expecting, everything changes around the house. Shua. Preparations start being made. Things start, you know, happening. Preparation is often the clearest expression of expectation. She may not even be showing. But someone asks, what are you doing? Why are you doing all this around the house? Oh, we're expecting. Passivity has never partnered with the promises of God. Passivity has never partnered with the promises of God. Rahab followed the instructions exactly. Read her story when you get home today again. It's phenomenal. The step by step by step that these guides, these spies, the step by step that they gave her. And verse 21 of that chapter, of chapter 2, in many translations, I've read one translation that said, if that's the way it's going to be, then that's the way it is. That's what Rahab said to the spies in obedience to all that they required of her. The scarlet cord remained fixed and her family remained inside. And when Jericho fell, her house still stood. She received the future she had hoped for. She received her expected end. Not because she understood everything, and not because she could see everything, but because she trusted the word that had been spoken to her. Hallelujah. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. You don't need to know everything about tomorrow. If you know what God has said today, you don't need to have to know everything about tomorrow. Just hold on to that word that he spoke today. Amen. You don't have to understand the whole journey if you trust the one who wrote the map. Last week we learned that Jesus is our constant. Jesus is our unchanging center. This week we discover that God's word is our reliable guide. One keeps us anchored, the other keeps us moving. Jesus as our center, as our constant, he keeps us anchored. The word of God as our reliable guide keeps us moving. One reminds us where to stand, the other shows us where to walk. The future doesn't belong to the people who know what tomorrow holds. It belongs to the people who keep holding on to the word of God. Come on, church. I want us to just receive the word of the Lord regardless of where you are right now and what's in front of you right now. The future does not belong to the people who know what tomorrow holds. It belongs to the people who stay focused, who continue holding on, who continue believing in the word of the Lord. Hath God not said it? Will he not do it? And when everything around us is changing, we can stay fixed for the future because the God who writes the future has already spoken, has already proclaimed, has already declared it in Jesus' name. I want to pray with us as we finish today. You're here and it looks like in front of you right now, everything is so cloudy. Everything is just looks like chaos. You have a word of the Lord in your heart. You have a promise of God. But as you look out, you just perhaps even in a place of anxiety. I sense there could be anxiety here today and just questions. And I just want to take a moment and pray with you and ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of what he has already spoken to you. That God would bring back to your remembrance what promise he has already declared to you. So every hand up who you say, Pastor, I need this prayer right now. I can't figure it out. I don't necessarily understand it all right now. That's what's ahead of me, but I want the Holy Spirit to renew. I want the Holy Spirit to rekindle. I want the Holy Spirit to bring afresh in my heart. I'm tying once again that scarlet cord. I'm fixing that promise once again. I'm not giving it up. I'm not holding on to it. The spies have left. It's just like everyday life now. I'm looking out that window, and I'm just determined to keep that promise of God in place. I will not give it up. Father, in the name of Jesus, look upon every one of us whose hands are raised, every heart that's raised in this house. In this service today, I call for your presence. Spirit of the living God, come. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Lord, our eyes are looking out the window across the land. We see no armies coming. We see no deliverance coming. We see little coming to us, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that we will stay the course. We will remain fixed. We will stand upon your word, for your word is a reliable guide. And we thank you today that your word will come to pass. God, as we go through transition, we thank you that your word is keeping us as we set our hearts, Lord, for the journey that is before us. Your word is keeping us. We're on a sure foundation. And I thank you and I praise you. Holy Spirit, continue to open the eyes of our understanding that our eyes might be enlightened. As Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus, that we might know the hope of our call, that we might know the hope, that expected end, that tikvah, that promise for the future, that scarlet cord, O God, fixing that promise, holding our course, not being moved, taking the preparation, doing the necessary preparation for the journey ahead. We give you the praise. We thank you that your promises are fulfilled. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Wow. I say yes. Everybody, keep that cord tied in the window. Keep that cord fixed in the window this week. And let's go and see God do amazing things. Have a great week, everybody. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.